I've been listening to some of the news programs, and you know, all the analyzing over why that the election went the way that it did, and that it's strange to me that the liberals are always the ones that's analyzing the conservatives, and they're saying why that the Republicans lost was because that they was holding too much to this conservative ideology, or however you say that word, and that, you know, they need to move more to the center. And I was wondering myself, where was the conservative viewpoint in this election? I think that's why they lost. They got totally away from it. And, you know, they was trying to go too much center of the road. And if you're going to go down the center of the road, it don't make a whole lot of difference who you're going to vote for. And, you know, when America, if America, ever wakes up and realizes our true godly heritage, we need to turn around and go back to that. And, you know, I was listening to the news as our president, the president that they're going to swear in on Tuesday, has went and got a Bible that Abraham Lincoln used, and he's coming in on a train the way that I think it was Abraham Lincoln had even traveled and come into the town. But, you know, all of this is well and good if we was living by the standards that those lived. But when all that we stand for is, I guess you'd say, compromise to what these men in our past stood for, we needn't to think that God is going to continue to bless and that everything is going to go well for us, because sin carries a tremendous cost. And you'll find, if you go into Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, here God is speaking unto Ezekiel and telling him what to say. And he makes it plain. But God also tells Ezekiel, what happens if a man sees danger and don't warn the people? And you and I don't know what it's going to take to open the eyes of America that they might see. But, you know, when I listen to the news reports from around the world, how that everybody is coming out against Israel for Israel just defending herself, and they're talking about the civilians that's been killed, and when the enemy embeds herself in a civilian population and they don't wear uniforms, it's hard not to kill civilians. And yet nobody that's coming out and speaking out against it is saying anything against the Hezbollah, the missiles that they're firing into Israel. They want Israel to quit fighting back, but they're not saying they got to quit firing their missiles. Well, you and I, it's come to a place where common sense don't seem to make any difference anymore. It's almost like nobody has any. Because if I'm throwing rocks into your house and I'm hitting your children, though it might only be hitting one of 10, how long are you going to let me keep throwing rocks in there till you're going to do something about it? Well, that's the exact same thing the world wants Israel to do. You just keep taking what they're throwing and don't do anything back. And when we see that, then we realize why then they'll turn around and use the same logic on a Christian person. Just let the world and that is vile say anything that they want to about God and the ways of God. But the Christian is only allowed to speak Christian faith within the walls of his church. He's not allowed to go out there and speak out against that is evil. But they can speak out against Christian faith all they want to, and that's fine. That's where common sin, it went out the door. And God said for you and I to stand up and cry loud and spare not. And you'll find a prophet here. God told him of what to warn the people about. And if they won't hear, then you delivered their blood off of your hand. Well, today in America, that's what the Christian people need to do. We need to stand up and get rid of the blood that's laying in our hand and warn the people of exactly what God has required. And if we don't, when we stand before the Lord, God's going to hold us responsible for not crying the alarm. And, you know, I know the biggest majority of the people don't want to hear. They want to have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They want to have a form of worship, but nothing that is sincere. Nothing that really changes your life. Nothing that gives you a principle or a value that is above everything else in your life. And you and I, as Christians, we cannot compromise the Word of God one bit and still be right. Because you cannot take something that is right and compromise it and it still be right. You know, if I've got 100% maple syrup and I add 5% water, I can no longer say that's 100% maple syrup. Why? There's some water in it. It's been diluted down. Well, you and I today, we cannot dilute the Word of God down and then say we're preaching 100% the Word of God. God wants us to give the people the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Why the Lord? We're coming face to face with God to stand and give an account before Him. And we better live our life before God in a way that pleases unto Him. And if we don't, we're going to find that when we stand there, we're going to not have any defense. And, you know, for our court to even retain the argument of an atheist that don't want to hear, so help me God, said in the pledge or in any prayer, anything about God, if he don't want to hear it, then fine. There's planes leaving America every hour. There are boats leaving their country just every little bit. Get on one. Go somewhere to the one that don't believe in God. But leave us alone. Why? Because our country was founded under God. And you don't like it, then leave. Don't cry and force us into accepting your way of believing. Either accept what this nation stood for back when it was founded, or find you another way. God is not going to change your word, and I'm not going to back down from it. I'm not going to change what God said and tell people that these decisions are all right when it goes contrary to the word of the Lord. If you'd like to read with us sometime when you've got the time, read this entire 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. It's 33 verses long. But we're going to start at the 31st verse. And listen here to what God was saying to the prophet. And they come unto thee as a people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Now here God was telling this prophet, they're not going to hear you. They look at you as somebody that speaks very good, that it sounds real good, but they don't want to hear it. And you know, I can remember not too many years ago, I was in my early 20s, and now I'm in my early 60s. But I can remember hearing a person say about my dad, he's the best preacher I've ever heard, but he just preaches it too straight. You and I, that is something that's impossible. We can't preach the word of God stricter than what it is. Then the other word said, it sounds good what he said. It's beautiful to listen to. It's just hard to live by. Why? They wanted to compromise, sir, on this one and that one. If you do, it's no longer beautiful. It's no longer that great story that God sent in the band. You and I, just like a band, a woman singing a beautiful song, we can sit and enjoy it. If the music is right and everything there, we can sit and enjoy it. Even if it's been sung in another language that we can't understand the word. But when they begin to hit the sour note, we won't enjoy it no longer. You and I today, if the men of God gain His word to please the people, it's like singing a song with sour note. It won't sound beautiful, and it won't be good. That can change the heart in the lives of men and women into what God wants them to be. And we need this day and time men that will stand and preach the word straight the way that God gives it, realizing that you and I, now according to my Bible, and I don't know, but according to my Bible, this part of Ezekiel was wrote 587 B.C. Well, this still applies to me and you today. When we see somebody or we see a danger that somebody is in and we cry out the alarm, that's just like you take a friend, a neighbor, or a loved one that is using drugs and you just go right on by and never say nothing to them. You know they're using. You know what they're using. And you don't do anything to reach them. Then one day you hear, they overdosed and then die. God's going to knock on your door and say, I told you the danger they was in. I let you know what they were doing and you never warned them. Now I'm going to record their blood at your hand. But if you go and you speak to that person and you tell them, these drugs are going to destroy your life. If you don't quit using them, it's going to kill you. You need to give your heart and life to the Lord. There's a much better way to live. There's nothing that will give you a better feeling than these drugs could ever give you. And they refuse to listen to you. And if you hear, they overdose it and die. You can go and look out on their casket. And they fire and clean in your blood. I warned you. And you stopped your ears. And one day, you'll be facing off that judgment to give witness against them that you warned them. But according to this Bible here, if you see the danger and you cry not the alarm, they will pay for it. But God also said, I'll require their blood at your hand. That's what scares me as a preacher. When I know something in the Bible and I see somebody that is guilty of it and I don't warn them, when I stand before God, God's going to require their blood at my hand. And you know, this day and time, most of the time when you warn people, instead of them accepting it, you become the awfulest thing that ever lived. Not too many years back, I warned a man and his wife sitting in their living room, giving them scripture and letting them read it right as we sit there. And they come to the right decision according to the Bible in what the wife said. But then they reject it. And we have been the awfulest thing that has ever walked upon the face of the earth since then. But when I stand before God, I can hold my hands out and say, there's no blood on my hands. I warned you. My hands are free of your blood. You and I today, that's all that we may be able to do is to clean the blood off of our hands today by crying to the Lord. But there's some out there that may not hear just a pretty song, a beautiful voice with the ear, but it may penetrate even unto the heart, for they want to know God themselves. That's why you and I, each and every day, we need to raise up and still give the Word of God to those that we come in contact with. Because after all, not only are we cleaning our hands, but we may be reaping some harvest for the Lord if we're obedient. And each and every one of us, we need to stop and think, God did not promise me that all will hear. But He did promise me if I didn't warn them what would happen to me. So, you know, we don't need to be preaching the gospel, taking our stand on the Word of God, thinking that we're going to get some great big following. We need to be doing it knowing that if we don't, we're going to lose our own soul because we didn't cry the alarm. As I was listening this week to a song, and I've heard it for years and years and years, Noah preached for, what was it, 100 years? 8 souls, and it was all his family. And the day I heard that, I said, thank you, Lord. Because it's more than that. That's here. And you and I, we can each one take a part in the souls of everybody in this congregation because we make up the body of Christ here. And nobody lives your life alone. We're each one involved in somebody else's life. I can't take credit for everybody here and their spiritual life. It takes each and every one of us. I may have a different job before the Lord than you do, but that does not mean that mine is more important. It just means that each one of us is needed. You know, my hand, that finger and that thumb is always the one that's leading on anything I get a hold of. But you mess these up and you'll find out those two can't do a whole lot just by themselves. And you mess up that little finger, it's a be amazing just how much it hinders you. You know, watch your hand when they close. They each one close at a different angle on something. And it all together, it comes into a real good grip. You and I, we might be the smallest part in the body. I've hurt my little toe before. To be quite frank, I don't understand what the purpose of the little toe is. You can't really scratch with it. You can't do nothing much of anything with it. It's just there. It's just there on the side of your foot to wear a hole in your sock. But you hurt that. And you watch how much it hinders that whole leg down that side until it gets better. You walk with the limp. You can't put as much pressure on it. It's there. You don't see the necessity of it a lot of times. But when it gets injured, you sure find out how much that you use it. You don't feel it walking around, but it's there for a purpose. And God's the only one that really understands what the full purpose of Him putting that little toe on our foot. Me and you, in the body of Christ. But the devil tries to tell you, nobody will miss you. You're not important. You're not doing anything. That's his lie. Something happened to you, every one of your Christian brothers and sisters will miss you. Every one of them will feel the difference when you're not there. Why? Because the body is not complete. You and I, we need to make sure that we work together as one for the Lord. And here in what we're reading to you, listen to that again. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Now, you and I, have you ever spoke to somebody about the Lord and you see tears well up in their eyes? You knew they was comprehending what you said. It was reaching to their heart. But then, all at once, they just sort of drew back from you and quit having as much to do with you. They understood your words. They were beautiful. They touched their heart. But then, you come down to that last part, but they do them not. They don't want your God. They've made a conscious decision for that. Does that mean never mentioning to them again? No. Because a lot of people, they reject God and the things of the Lord unto something tragedy or something happens in their life that causes them to realize just how needy they are. You know, there's a lot of people like me and you were. They don't realize they need God. I thought I was getting along just fine. Just as long as I could keep things hid from Mom and Dad, I was getting along just fine. One day I realized, Bert, you don't give an account. Nobody knows but me and you. And I realized the me was the one that counted. That wasn't this me. That was the me that was talking to me. And I realized he had everything marked down that I had ever done, ever thought, and all my plans that I was wanting to do. And I realized I didn't want to live that way any longer. You and I, God is reaching out to us. He's speaking to us. Don't just listen and think it sounds good. Let it go down into your heart and change you. Make you into a new creature. Because after all, you know, if we don't accept God just the way that He is, when we stand before Him, we're going to find out we wasn't able to change Him. You know, this day and time, the world thinks the way of worship of preachers like me that don't write anything down, that is in the past. We need, and I heard some people, they even said this to me. It's been about 14 years ago now. They said, we've been preached at enough. We need a teacher. What it was, they didn't want a preacher. They wanted somebody that would talk and teach them what they wanted to hear. So they found them one. And I told the man that told me this, I said, you're homeschooling your kids to try and protect them, and then you'll bring a man in that will teach them that what they do, they're not going to be held responsible for. What they do,
is not sin because they can't sin. And I said, it just doesn't make sense. Well, it wasn't but just a few years. The man that was talking to me, the oldest child in his home, moved out and moved in with the man in a homosexual relationship. You and I today, the devil will destroy that that we treasure the most if we try and choose another way other than straight the gospel. Preach just the way it is. You know, the Bible speaks about it. A preacher, he's inspired by God, and the message should be inspired by God. It should be something sent from God. And a teacher is totally different. I have tried to teach, but I am the first one to admit I'm really not a teacher. But when God comes and gives you the message to preach, and it comes just as you're preaching, that's something you don't have to doubt. It's something that is it's something that is inspired by God, that man don't have a choice. He don't have time to work. If I wrote something down, the devil's going to know what I say beforehand. But if I depend upon God to give me what to say, the devil's caught off guard just as much as anybody that's sitting there. And you know, there have been times I've been caught off guard because right while I was preaching, I'd have to say in my mind, God, forgive me, because I preached something that hit me. And because I preached it does not mean I'm not going to be held accountable. If I preach it, I figure I'm doubly accountable. So you and I, let's come back to the Word of God and take our stand upon it. I believe we're coming into a time when those that hold the high standard of God's Word up is going to be looked down on worse than in many years here in America. But sin is what's the blame for all of our troubles in America. I was listening, and I think there's 5 states in America right now that's just days from bankruptcy. And California is one that they said is just days from it. And yet they have, this state that's going under don't have enough money. They have set aside, I forget how many millions or billions of dollars for stem cell research. And they are pushing every kind of a gay agenda that you can get. Well, when we're doing everything against the very thing that God treasures and laid down for, why should we be blessed? Well, when this nationwide begins to stand for that that's wrong, look for this country to have harder times than we've ever had before. And each and every one of us, God has said in His Word, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Hold to these promises of God, but still stand on the Word and tell other people. Because after all, when we come before God, we want to know our hands are clean. While we sing some song, it's your choice, each and every one of us, to choose whether we want to serve the Lord or not. You know, this old prophet here, God let him know he could choose not to tell the people. But he said, I'm going to require their blood at your hands. Why? Because I have showed you. So me and you, we could choose not to tell our friends if we want to pay that kind of a price. Me, I want to see what God has for those that love Him. I want to see what's waiting in heaven. There is nothing that the devil has that I want to know anything more about. I know too much about the things of the sin now. I want to go to a place where sin will never come. while we stand and sing, will you come? It's your choice today whether you want to live for the Lord or not. Each and every one of us. God said it's appointed unto man once to die and after death the judgment. At no place does it say that we're guaranteed we're going to live to be 70 years old, 60 years old, 50 years old. Some of us may die before we ever get into our teens or out of our teens. Please, I beg you, if God speaks to your heart, will you come?